This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 10:04. Glad to have you. And hopefully you are not in any trouble because of the incredible flooding. If it wasn't the weather putting your power out for several days, the flooding all over the KC Metro is certainly setting a lot of people back.
And we'll check in with Jim Cunningham, who will recap for us what has happened out at 103rd and Warnell this morning. Also, just some of the other areas of town that flooded. Some images coming out this morning that you can't even really believe are real. Anybody else get twitchy last night when it started to thunder? Immediately grab your phone charger. Immediately go
load
and turn your thermostat down so that way your place would cool off in case your power went out overnight. But we didn't have, you know, when the storm hit over the weekend, we didn't have the flooding that came in with this one. This, I don't think we expected as much.
No, I saw a movie last night. I was up at Barry Woods, the theater up there, and I was driving back, and it was lightning like crazy. It was just lightly raining. Like, it was nothing. And it was crazy because I would drive through, and there'd be puddles, and water would shoot over the median on the bridge over to me. And I thought, boy, if it's bad like this up here in the Northland, what is it like in areas more closely, you know, associated with flooding and the rivers and these beds. And then you wake up this morning and you're I'm driving and listening to EJ and Ellen, and two guys were trapped in the roof. They climbed in the roof of coaches.
Yeah. And so Jim Cunningham has been out and about all morning. In fact, you've been seeing him out on Facebook Live and updating what's been happening. And so rather than us recap it, we'll go to Jim Cunningham and find out exactly what's been happening this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. And a lot of people along 103rd have dealt with floods before, but this is like no other. 12 businesses here definitely flooded out. Water levels up to at least about a foot into the doorway on the highest point of businesses. You get closer to coaches and it's right through the middle of the doorway, and farther to the west, even worse. So a car dealership here just narrowly escaping parts of it here along Cable Dahmer. Farther to the west, though, toward the creek, I know there's some damage down that way. We still can't get through 103rd Street. It should open up in about an hour, but Warnell will be closed for a while because they're going to have to check the integrity of the bridge underneath. An engineer here tells me that they've got to check for what's called scour and what happens when the water rapidly rushes through there. They may have some damage underneath the bridge, so they've got to check the integrity of the bridges that cross over Indian Creek, and that's going to include all the bridges from State Line here at Warnell and also over at Holmes at 99th Street, where I was at also earlier. So I covered State Line to 99th, and I've not seen floodwaters on this creek be this high, and it certainly it was a very dramatic thing. Both the co-owners at Coaches rescued 36 rescues in all this morning in Kansas City, but from Chief Berardi with the KC Fire Department, no casualties.
Jim, how much of the blame of this flooding can you put on the fact that the ground is so, you know, full of water and saturated from the previous weekend storms?
Oh, that's definitely going to do it. But, of course, we had about 7 inches of rain up north in the Northland and parts of Platte County and certainly parts of the western half of the metro. And as that stuff comes downstream, it's just going to keep building into each tributary and just continue to rise. So the rainfall amounts alone were enough to really push things to a higher level. But definitely the water levels already were pretty high from the previous storm we had last weekend.
Jim, how much of what we're seeing in terms of flooding is in areas that normally flood? Like, sometimes we just have parts of town that naturally sit lower, that naturally flood anyway. And how much of these were in areas that were kind of a surprise?
Well, as you might have heard earlier, the National Weather Service gave a pretty good summary about the four creeks that we all hear about all the time. Indian, Tomahawk, of course, the one Brush Creek, and then there was one more. I can't recall the name of it, but the four of them that run through the city. Everybody around here deals with flooding every time there's a major rainfall event. But this one was unlike any of the others. The National Weather Service tells us this was the highest level they've ever recorded So this was certainly something very bad. In fact, there's some residences just to the southeast or the northeast of where I'm standing, and those homes actually had water in the basement, and they've never seen that in all the years people have lived over there. So this was unlike anything else.
What are authorities saying is the recovery time on this, or at least for these water levels to go back down and for people to actually be able to drive through some of these major roads? Because it was already tough this morning for the morning rush hour. It'll be even worse potentially once some of the stuff starts to get uncovered for the afternoon rush hour.
Well, to give you an idea, during this rain event, the water level went from 12 feet to 27 feet within a matter of about 2 hours. And that's a dramatic rise in water levels. They're talking about possibly it could be a couple of hours before at least Warnell is opened back up. Debris is already over the top of the bridge because the water went over the bridge here at this location, just shy of the Quick Trip parking lot here.
So, Jim, I just want to recap for people that maybe have missed some of the specific locations that are going to be out driving today. And again, as Wicket mentioned, if we get into the noon hour with people out for lunch, tell us what's closed. What are the streets that people need to avoid?
Well, basically, looking up the hill, 99th Street on Warnell all the way to 435 is closed. Also, Holmes at 99th Street, that area where Tomahawk Creek runs underneath there, and also State Line, 103rd Street, that bridge, that area is flooded. I haven't had a chance to get over there yet. That's where I started at 5 this morning. I watched a dumpster float downstream from Gates. The water back there has got to be just the damage back there has got to be tremendous from floodwaters back there, because they've had problems before, but I'm pretty sure that there's a pet clinic or something back there and some other businesses. So I'm still working my way back to get to check that out as well. So I know that State Line, Warnell, and Holmes, all are areas you should avoid basically from 103rd to 435.
Jim, appreciate it. Continue the fine work out there. Maybe we'll check in a little bit later with you. And the good news is there's not a lot of rain in the forecast for the next week, so that's good for the city and the surrounding areas.
Yes, it is.
Take care. Jim Cunningham joining us out here on N98.1 KMBZ. And I looked at the 10-day forecast. Not a lot of rain in the forecast, but that can obviously change.
Oh, for sure.
We need is some forecast. Dry weather for about a week.
We need just some time for Indian Creek to settle down a little bit. So, yeah, we'll check in with Jim again a little bit later and just find out. But generally speaking, if you miss some of those locations, we're talking about that area. Holmes, State Line, 99th Street, 103rd, 435, 103rd and Warnell kind of being what seems to be if you need a major cross intersection, that's the place to generally avoid. But, yeah, you heard him mention 7 inches of rain in the Northland. Yeah, I was seeing reports last night out of Riverside at like 5 or 6 inches already had come down. And so, and as he mentioned, then that water flows downstream. So then you have areas like 103rd and Warnell where it's going to hit Northland first and then go further south. So, yeah, I know this probably goes without saying, but if you can't tell how deep the water is on the road, don't drive through it. Because as somebody who has stalled a car in high water because I was a dummy, don't do that. just back up. Just stop. Hopefully, you know, barricades are up and stuff. But if you see a barricade, don't go around it. It's there for a reason. The water is generally going to be deeper than it appears.
And you're going to lose. You'll probably lose.
Your day is going to get worse, yes.
And, you know, maybe if this is a silver lining, not as many people without power. And, you know, not a lot of power outages like we got over the weekend. I'm sure some people lost power due to the flooding, but nothing to the scale of what we saw Saturday night into Sunday.
Let's see. I'm on KCPNL's website.
The outages.
Their summary. They have got 3,700 out.
37. Okay, again, that's not good, but
and we don't know how many of those were still left over from. Gosh, I hope you are not someone who lost power on Saturday evening or Sunday evening and then now has not gotten it back, or got it back and then lost it again.
Ugh.
I was fine last night, but it was one of those things where I was up. Every wall storms
you were
kept
worried.
Me up. Thunder kept me awake. But then you check every so often to make sure you're hearing your air conditioner go and stuff like that,
yeah.
Just to make sure. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on power outages as well. Newsroom email. If people want to send, people are asking us if you can text us pictures. The text line will not take pictures. You can't text them into 22980. News@KMBZ.com is where you can email those, or you can feel free to tweet them to us.
Right, at KMBZ Radio and anywhere on our Facebook page. We got all kinds of pictures and videos. Jim Cunningham and Dan Weinbaum have been out covering this, taking pictures and going live with videos so you can see where the flooding is. Just go to our Facebook page and post the picture anywhere, and we are just scouring it because a lot of you are doing that, and we appreciate it. That way we can get the information out to you. So again, news@KMBZ.com, on Twitter @KMBZ Radio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/981KMBZ.
And we'll bring you any updates as they happen through the course of the day. But there was a lot that happened last night.
Yes.
before the storms hit, a lot of news that came out.
We will talk about Governor Sam Brownback. He is potentially gone as governor. Who's to replace him? And where is Brownback going to go? Plus, we have a keyword of cash for you just before 11. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket. Keep it right here on 981KMBZ. 981KMBZ, midday with Jamie and Wicket. Jamie Monticelli, Mike Wicket. We are keeping an eye on all of the flooding and whatnot. And go ahead and tweet us pictures of wherever there may be flooding in your area at KMBZ Radio. You can email them, news@KMBZ.com. Put them up on our Facebook page, and we will get the word out to where there is still lots and lots of flooding, causing lots and lots of problems.
Yeah, generally speaking, though, the big area that you've been hearing us talk about a lot this morning is right around 103rd and Warnell. That's where there was rescue this morning at Coaches. But you heard Jim Cunningham say 36 rescues in all as a result of the storm. Emergency crews have been busy. And again, just to pass it along, you know, we all know this. And we all know that there are just some areas of town that flood more. You know, we've just got lower parts of town and areas near Indian Creek that are going to get higher water anytime there's rain. This is one of those times where if you're aware of those areas, or you know that you pass through those on your way to work or wherever you go to lunch, this is going to be one of those times where those areas that normally flood are in anything along Indian Creek. So again, that area, 103rd and Warnell, 99th and Holmes. But yeah, send us your pictures and we'll pass those along.
We have a Twitter poll for you. Pretty simple question.
Seems simple. Not simple.
Simple enough, I guess. I mean, the verbiage is pretty simple.
Very philosophical question.
Overall, are you happy? I mean, simple question. Don't know if it's a simple answer.
We didn't say, are you happy now? Are you happy in general? Are you happy with this? But just very simple.
Overall, are you happy?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm happy, or no, I'm not. Vote on Twitter at KMBZ Radio and let us know. Jamie, are you happy?
I am.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Travis Walker on the other side. Travis, overall, are you happy?
Yeah.
All right. He had to think about it. There was a pause there. The reason we're asking is not just because it seems like a good thing to ask people.
Right.
There's a group called the Harris Poll, and they do this happiness index. They've done it for quite a while, and they release it to Time Magazine, and it's out. And it breaks it down a little bit into men versus women and age group and what your political affiliation is, and just asking, are you happy? It's a pretty simple question. And then they get into a couple other things about the things that you're most worried about and what's holding you back. We'll get into some of the intricacies of this coming up a little bit later in the show.
What percentage do you think is winning, and what number do you think we're at?
I'm going to say it's pretty close to 50-50.
78% happy.
Really?
Yeah.
That is not anywhere close to what the national poll says.
Interesting. All right. Vote on Twitter. Let us know at KMBZ Radio. Big news yesterday outside of the flooding is that Governor Sam Brownback may no longer be governor. And it's not because he's ousted or asked to leave. He may have a new job.
Yeah. And it looks like he will be nominated. Let's see. What is the exact title here? He will be nominated to serve as ambassador at large for international religious freedom. That was announced yesterday that he's being nominated as this international religious. Let's see. Here we go. Lead the Office of International Religious Freedom. I didn't know that existed, which is under the umbrella of the State Department and generally is charged with promoting religious freedom as a foreign policy objective.
This seems like a smart move in my mind for Governor Brownback. I mean, look, his ship is sinking and he's got to abandon it or go down with the ship. I mean, Kansas is in complete hell financially, its educational system.
Come on, we got real ID pass before you guys did.
Congrats, you can fly.
We
cowboys over here in Missouri.
And his term was going to be over in 2018 anyway. And so it's not like he's walking away, you know, incredibly early. This is also not a big surprise. The reason that we know a bit about Jeff Collier is because Governor Brownback's name and Kris Kobach's name both came up as possibilities for positions in the Trump administration when Trump was elected. It took a little longer than we thought, but his name came up several times for other positions as well. Governor Brownback's name had come up for agriculture secretary. Initially, it was some of these cabinet level posts. And then once the cabinet level positions were all filled, maybe we thought, well, okay, then he's just going to stay as governor. He's been having a rough time of it, though. Make no mistake. So,
right. I mean, he's had, you had Republicans and Democrats within the state Congress come together and override his veto. Mm-hmm. He is staunchly against raising taxes. He ran on the income tax that was going to bring people back to Kansas.
Yeah.
It did not work. You've got schools that are having problems everywhere in the state of Kansas. However, when it comes to just this the religious ambassador, that seems to be about right. I mean, he was part of the Religious Freedom Act of 1998. He was against President Trump's Muslim ban. I think this is it would be a good fit for Governor Brownback in the Trump administration.
Sure. Sure, I guess. I don't know his religious views. I don't know where he stands.
Seems to be all about religious freedom.
I'll be honest. I was a little surprised that it wasn't a more... that it wasn't a bigger leadership position, you know, that it wasn't a more political position, that it wasn't more of a policy issue position, you know, something in agriculture or something that the state deals a lot with. I was surprised it was this, but he's term limited in Kansas, so he couldn't run again next year anyway. So his clock was kind of ticking on what he was going to get done here anyway. He's having a hell of a time getting anything done. He's got fights within his own party here. So I'm not surprised that he's moving on to a bigger position that could then lead to other things in the Trump administration or in national politics.
Could be. A couple of notes real quick. And this is from, you know, I go to this website every day, Christianity Today. You know I'm on that site.
Perhaps
constantly.
You should, Wicket. Probably. Didn't somebody tell you recently, stop drinking and read the Bible?
Put down the alcohol and the Twitter and pick up the Bible.
It was the Twitter, yeah.
But I mean, to speak well of Brownback and this lady, he was a key sponsor of the International Religious Freedom Act in 98 that was significantly expanded by President Obama. He was one of only three members of Congress to receive a perfect score on the International Religious Freedom Scorecard for his efforts during President Obama's first 2 years in office. He was a Methodist, converted to Roman Catholicism, and served as a Catholic advisor to the Trump campaign. I think it's a smart move. A guy who's wide open when it comes to the ideas of religious freedom. Maybe he could let the president know. But regardless, I think it's a good move and a good choice.
All right, so a news conference is supposed to happen this afternoon, but we don't know exactly what that's going to include. On Twitter, Governor Brownback wrote yesterday, "Religious freedom is the first freedom, the choice of what you do with your own soul. I am honored to serve such an important cause." But we don't know exactly where this stands technically. Let's talk for a second about who the next governor would be.
Sure.
Jeff Collier is his name. He is a surgeon, a doctor from our area who had previously served in the state legislature. Before he became lieutenant governor in 2011, he was in the state house from 2007 until 2009 and was in the Kansas Senate until 2011. The governor's office said he gets a lot of credit for leading the Kansas Medicaid transformation, as you would imagine, given his background in medicine. And so kind of how this would work technically, procedurally, if Governor Brownback resigns, that's pretty simple. Jeff Collier becomes your new governor because he's lieutenant governor now. So there's no special election or anything. He would hold the position until either the term ends, which is next year. He decides to leave it. I can't believe he would do that. Or he is elected to the position. So he could run in 2018. And I can't believe that he wouldn't, especially if he's just kind of elevated to that position anyway.
He's a fifth-generation Kansan. He's from a Roman Catholic high school in Hayes out on the west side of the state. Studied at Georgetown. I mean, everybody kind of knows the name, right? Collier's not an unfamiliar name.
Yeah, he's been lieutenant governor for a while,
And for the most part, people look at him and say he's kind of a Brownback clone, except I was reading some stuff in some of the local papers. People expect him to potentially work with the local lawmakers a little more because he was in that field, because he did that before he's been, you know, lieutenant governor and taking over. So it's kind of Brownback light, but not totally Brownback light.
Yeah. It's like, what would you rather have, you know, and we've talked about this between President Trump and Mike Pence. Like, what would you rather have, Governor Brownback or Jeff Collier?
It would seem, look, not knowing terribly much about Jeff Collier, to me it would seem like he'd be a better fit to get more done instead of gridlock, because he can work with the senators and whatnot and people in the state of the House representatives. So to me, it seems like someone who's going to be a little bit more open to working with local lawmakers as opposed to Brownback, who had his ways, what he ran on, and he was never going to flinch.
What he has against him is that we're already through this year's legislative session, and so he gets one shot at it. And at the time that we're going through next year's legislative session, he's running for re-election potentially at that point. So I don't know how much he'll really get done, but it's a breath of fresh air.
And one thing he does have going against him, as it might be a positive to some, he's step in step with Sam Brownback.
Right.
Like, he's pretty much
needed to be, though. But some people could say that was his job. Lieutenant Governor.
That's true.
I would excuse that a little bit. If he said to me, I was a soldier. You know, you don't fall out of line with your leader. I would be okay with him saying that.
But anybody running against him, whether it's in a primary in a year and a half.
We'll use it against him.
Well, everyone will use it. Look what this guy did. He was step in step. If you want more years of Sam Brownback, then go ahead and vote for Collier. But he'll take over as Sam Brownback nominated as religious ambassador in the Trump administration.
So we need to spend 5 minutes, and we promise we won't take more than that, talking about, I have a special place in my heart for Alaska. But beyond that, it's... We'll talk about what Trump has done with the two senators from Alaska.
One, next. Upset with him. The other, just kind of being lumped in together.
Guilt by association.
98.1 KMBZ, midday with Jamie and Wicket. It is 10:33. We have your next chance to win $1,000. Keyword to cash coming your way just before 11 o'clock. And we'll have an update for you on the new information out about the serial rapist at KU and K-State. That information we'll get to you coming up at 11.
But right now we want to spend a couple of minutes talking about a power struggle that is happening between the Trump administration and, this week, those who represent the state of Alaska. Just to tell you why this matters, probably more than any other state, or definitely Alaska, is in those states that has a lot more to do with the federal government in terms of there are a lot of federal lands there that the federal government controls, and there's a struggle over whether those should be state controlled instead. We're talking about oil. We're just getting into a lot of different things. And so particularly when you deal with the Interior Department, and the Secretary of the Interior is Ryan Zinke. The two senators from Alaska are Lisa Murkowski. They're both Republicans. She very often breaks from the president. It's not at all unusual for she and Susan Collins, a Republican out of Maine, to break from the rest of the Republicans together. That happened this week on that one health care vote that I said, I don't know why a Republican wouldn't vote just to open debate. We had two Republicans that voted no, and it was those two. In response to that, President Trump is not happy.
He sent out a tweet saying, Senator Lisa Murkowski of the great state of Alaska really let the Republicans and our country down yesterday. Too bad, because she did not vote yes to go forward on the discussion of health care, the repeal and replace of Obamacare. She voted no, as you mentioned, so did Susan Collins.
Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan, who is also a Republican, stayed in line.
He voted
with Republicans and voted yes to open debate. Nonetheless, President Trump, I assume under the direction of President Trump, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke made a couple of calls this week on behalf of the president to each of the two Alaska senators. And let me, this is out of the Alaska Dispatch News. Again, as you mentioned, Trump went on Twitter, and by that afternoon on Wednesday, each of Alaska's two Republican senators had gotten a phone call from Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, letting them know that the vote had put Alaska's future with the administration in jeopardy. Specifically, Dan Sullivan, the Alaska senator, says, I won't go into details, but I fear that the strong economic growth, pro-energy, pro-mining, pro-jobs and personnel from Alaska who are part of those policies are going to stop. He said, I tried to push back on behalf of all Alaskans. We're facing some difficult times. A lot of enthusiasm for the policies that Secretary Zinke and the president have been talking about with regard to our economy. But the message was pretty clear. And Senator Murkowski did not talk. Sullivan said the Interior Secretary was clear that his message was in response to the no vote that Murkowski had cast on that motion to proceed with debate. Here's what's at stake. Efforts and issues on the line include nominations of Alaskans to interior posts, an effort to build a road out of King Cove through a big national wildlife refuge, future opportunities to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and expand drilling elsewhere, and a lot of other regulatory issues when it comes to the outdoors. So Alaska stands to lose a lot. If Ryan Zinke, we don't know exactly what he threatened. We don't know exactly what he meant. It might have just been kind of a vague threat. Like maybe he didn't have anything specific in mind, but it's just the fact, number one, guilt by association. And it's the fact that President Trump was unhappy with Lisa Murkowski, that she voted her conscience. She voted, you know, again, I don't get why you wouldn't just vote to open debate, but that's her choice. And that's what she did. And because Trump thought that was embarrassing and he was mad about it, he had his Interior Secretary. There's a reason it was the Interior Secretary, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a reason it wasn't somebody else, because Alaska has a lot at stake when it comes to oil and the economy and jobs. That's why he had Ryan Zinke call with this message.
And ironically, a committee hearing yesterday on nominations to the Interior and Energy Departments, which of course she heads up, was postponed indefinitely.
Yeah.
And no reason was posted. She said that she was not deeply concerned about pushback from Alaska Republicans about her vote. She said, I base my votes on what I believe is in Alaska's best interest. So I know there are those who wish that I would be more in line with following my party platform, but I don't think it should come as any surprise that there have been occasions that I have not followed the lead of the party. I don't mind when my politicians, regardless if they're Democrats or Republicans, when they vote their conscience, when they voted what is best. If you look at a bill, like I will bet in retrospect, there was, if I was a Democrat in the Senate and I was voting on Obamacare, it would be like, you know, guys, I know we're supposed to vote in line with the president and everything, but maybe we should postpone this and read through it instead of you have to pass it to find out what's in the bill.
Just like Senator Moran. I mean, nobody criticized Senator Moran for breaking with the rest of Republicans on the latest health care bill that had been proposed. I think a lot of us, maybe you don't agree with their logic or agree with their opinion, but you respect that they read the bill, they read the legislation, and they think bad legislation replacing bad legislation is not a good move. In this case, though, I don't know how I feel about, I mean, this was a threat. This was the president having his interior secretary call and be very clear about the fact that because Lisa Murkowski voted her conscience, or however you want to put it, that now, you know, we're threatening your economy now. Lisa Murkowski is a very popular senator there. She has great support. She's not, you know, she's not in danger of losing her position.
Oh, no.
She's not in danger of being voted out or anything. So she doesn't have to worry too much about threats in terms of, you know, will the president not raise money for me? But like I said, more than most any other state, Alaska has a lot on the line when it comes to things that the Interior Department can really affect.
Should the president be doing that? Should the president be threatening or having Zinke call or whomever, someone who's able to pick up the phone and call these senators who vote against him? Because there's another example, Nevada Republican Dean Heller, who voted no and then voted yes. He was actually kind of called out by President Trump saying, quote, look, he wants to remain a senator, doesn't he? That was at a meeting with all the Republicans. Remember when they came over for lunch?
Uh-huh.
That was in front of all the other Republicans in the room.
So this is President Trump basically saying, you are going to be loyal to me or it is going to cost you. And
yeah,
what do you think about that? 22980 or give us a call, 576-7798. And yes, I'm ready. No other president's done it. Let's talk about this right now.
But presidents do it. Is that right?
Is it okay for any president to do it? For a president to hold over a lawmaker's head money or fundraising money or
their political future,
drilling or jobs or whatever's important to that state. What do you think about that? Is it okay for a president to demand loyalty no matter what? Because that's kind of what's happening here.
Because Heller, by the way, is in a swing state that I believe, did Trump win Nevada or did Hillary win Nevada? Either way, it's a swing state that was very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And Heller's up for re-election in 2018.
And that's going to be a tough race for him.
Yeah.
That's not a sure thing.
Absolutely not. You know, there was an advertising campaign over his opposition to the health care bill run by America First Policies because he didn't back Trump's campaign and Trump's promise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
576-7798, 576-7798. Is it appropriate for presidents to bully or threaten their, his constituents, or I'm sorry, his senators, his lawmakers, even if they go against the grain of the president for the constituents like Kansas Senator Jerry Moran did?
Does a member of the party have to stick with the party?
That's a question.
Or is it, you know, is it okay for the president to expect that kind of loyalty?
And I'm going to bring it back locally for you. There are a lot of Republicans who, you know, went against Sam Brownback, especially in the last year.
Sure.
Kansas Republicans who went against Sam Brownback. And a lot of you will go against Sam Brownback because of what he's done to this state.
Yeah, it's a question of loyalty. Is it okay to expect just all absolute loyalty? And is it okay then for the president to threaten to take things away from your state if he doesn't get it?
576-7798. We'll get to Andrew. We'll get to Marty. We'll get to Dana. We'll get to you coming up next. Midday with Jamie and Wicket on 98.1 KMBZ. 98.1 KMBZ. Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Jamie Monticelli, Mike Wicket. Coming up, we will get you that next keyword to cash in about 10 minutes from right now. Your next chance at $1,000. Right now, we're asking you about presidents, specifically this one, but you can go back in time and to keep it bipartisan, if you'd like. How do you feel about presidents pressuring senators or bad-mouthing senators who, or members of the House of Representatives, anybody in Congress who votes against what the president wants.
Specifically, the story comes up out of Alaska. If you recall earlier this week, there was the vote to open debate on a health care bill. This was a pretty obvious one. This would be an obvious one for Republicans to vote yes on. But nonetheless, Senator Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska and Senator Susan Collins out of Maine, two Republicans who often break from President Trump's agenda, both voted no on that vote to open debate. And as a result of that, President Trump was not happy. He voiced it on Twitter. And Interior Secretary Ryan Zenke, who deals a lot with Alaska because there are mining issues and oil issues and a lot of wildlife refuges and refuges and that kind of stuff there, he put calls in to Senator Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, the other senator there, who, by the way, voted in favor of opening debate, and sort of made threats a little bit. Dan Sullivan said that as a result of the call, Zenke heralded a, quote, troubling message, and basically said that the economic growth, pro-energy, pro-mining, that some of that might be at stake now. That President Trump basically said some of what you need in Alaska might be going away as a result of this vote. Is that okay? By the way, we don't know if he's done the same thing in Maine, because Susan Collins, as you recall, also broke from Maine, but we've not heard if he made the same call to Maine. But Alaska has a lot more at stake federally. It's a much bigger state, a lot more land there, a lot more federal land
there. A lot of oil there.
Is it okay for the president to just expect absolute loyalty from members of his party?
576-7798. Let's talk to Andrew in KC on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Well, I think what the Interior Secretary did with Lisa Murkowski was absolutely appropriate. This is nothing new. Anybody that thinks this hasn't been going on for decades in politics on threats, we're not going to give you this if you don't support our program across party lines, is very naive on politics.
Well, I don't think anybody's denying it goes on. The question is, does it go on? I think we all realize it's gone on since George Washington was president. Is that right?
I think so, because you've got 98% of the state senator Republicans wanting to put it into debate only. This high ground, moral ground, I'm voting my conscience is nonsense, because all they were voting was to put it to debate. Now, if they wanted to say, I can't vote my conscience in favor of a bill because of the substance, I'll give you that. But this was avoiding politics by Lisa Murkowski, and that's it.
I agree, but I have two problems with it. Number one, Dan Sullivan, the other Republican from Alaska, stayed in line. And so the president made a threat to both senators, even though one of them did exactly what they were supposed to do. I don't know if that's fair. If it had been both, then I'd say maybe you have a little bit more of a case. And my other issue with it is, if you were going to make a threat like that, then I would have gone behind the scenes and done it before the vote and gone to every senator and said, we need a win on this one. I need your loyalty, and do it before the vote, not publicly on Twitter and with a call from Ryan Zenke after the fact.
I don't know. I guess we'll disagree to disagree on that, because I think I'd rather have, instead of doing a backdoor smoky-filled room and hide this thing, I'd rather come out front and say, call it like it really is, and says, you know, you have a lot of interest at stake in Alaska. If you want our support to help you out with everything, then you need to think about a major problem we have to deal with in America, which is healthcare. And if you won't even let us debate in it, okay?
But why not make that statement to those senators before the vote? That way you get the vote you want. You know what I'm saying? Why not call them ahead of time instead of threatening after?
It may have been. It may have been suggested, and it was pointed out, and it's just coming to light in the media. We don't know everything that goes on. I just don't have a problem with someone taking a hard line approach and pointing these things out. And I'm not in favor of what Jerry Moran did. I'm not in favor of Rand Paul did. I'm not a true believer Republican by any extreme. But, you know, we know that the Democrats are not going to give anything on this.
Nope.
Because they're just going to sit back and let the Republicans implode, which they're doing.
Yeah, they definitely are. Hey, Andrew, thanks for the call. I want to get a few more up here. 576-7798. Marty in Leawood, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Hey, Marty.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Should presidents expect absolute loyalty from congressmen?
So, in a general sense, I would say no. The people, we in Kansas and every other state, elect our representatives to look out for our interests and the nation's interests. No one's ever accused Trump of being subtle or nuanced in his communication style. That said, I want to echo a little bit of what Andrew said. I believe that it's gone on for decades, and that the senators who voted no on the actual repeal bill or the House version of the bill did vote their conscience, and I have no objection to that. I do agree that shutting down debate, not allowing debate to go forward, was a vote that's no different in my mind than those people who shout down or who prohibit discussions on college campuses or in other forums for an issue that is important to everybody. The bill's amendable. Mitch McConnell came out days ago and said, we're going to put it on the floor. You can debate. You can amend. You can complain. You can talk about it. You can horse trade. But we need to discuss the bill. And that's where I would disagree with Jamie's point, is that shutting down debate, not voting for debate, is not a matter of conscience. That was an absolute political move in states where they thought
they were. Listen, you and I agree on that, because I said this on the day of the vote. I was the one that repeatedly said, this is a sure thing. This is an easy one to vote yes on. Why would you not vote in favor of opening up debate?
Politics.
Yeah.
Trying to politic your way through this one.
I get it. I think every Republican should have voted yes.
Hey, Marty, thanks, man. Appreciate it. 576-7798. Dana in KC, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Dana, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, I'm just going to say the same thing that you guys said, except for I do want to say to Jamie, she asked a question, why wouldn't you say something beforehand? Well, she answered her own question when she said, it's a no-brainer. That's not something you vote against.
But if it's something you really want, here's why I said that. If it is important enough to you that you're going to threaten to take stuff away after, why not make that clear beforehand? If it's that important, why not go to every senator beforehand? Again, this is why you have a whip to do these vote counts.
He has a lot of stuff that's going on. He's got a lot of other things he's doing. And so when you feel like you have something that should be, as you've even coined it, a no-brainer, you really don't anticipate that somebody's going to shut that down when it's just opening the debate.
But if it's
so
that
that's
important.
Why I think that is. Well, it's that important. And so is other things in the what he is working on is also that important. So you should feel like if you think this vote's going to go, you don't put that extra effort into it, but you're putting extra effort into something else.
I
agree with Andrew on what he said, is that this has been going on and Trump is not a smooth character. But the thing is that he's not afraid to do it out in the open either. Whereas everybody else does it under the covers, around here, around there. He's like, you know what? You don't support us. We're not going to support you. And I appreciate the freshness of that honesty, Blake, basically.
Yeah, if I was a senator from Alaska, I would have wanted to know ahead of time that if I didn't vote yes on this, my state's going to lose potential at jobs or money or drilling efforts or whatever. To me, it's just a little bit unfair. And yes, the president has a lot going on. It's always going to be that way. But this was, you know, on anything like this where you need every Republican to vote yes, that's pretty important. You need them all to vote yes.
Dana, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Harvey in Rich Hill. You're on 98.1 KMBZ. What's up, Harvey?
Hey, I agree with the first caller. Listen, the Democrat that they had this, if she was on the other foot, they would do anything and everything.
Right.
Totally
agree. But the question is not, would it be the same? The question is it right?
For either side to do it.
The Republicans own it right now, and if they squander this, they'll get just what they deserve. I say go for it.
That's a really good point. If they squander this, where they have the majority, if they squander this, there could be some real trouble in the midterms in a year.
Here's what scares me about this a little bit, is that so now that this has become public, that the president has done this, now lawmakers know, if they didn't know this before, senators in particular know where the vote's going to be closer. They have to do exactly what the president wants, or they are going to be threatened with things they need from being taken away from their state. Are you okay with that? You know, would you be okay with that happening with our lawmakers here in Kansas or Missouri? Do you want your lawmakers to vote their conscience, or do you want them to be forced to voting with their loyalty with the president out of fear that we're going to lose stuff we need? You know what I'm saying?
Let's say it was a real right wing, far right Tea Party person won the presidency, and you're more of a moderate Republican. Maybe you differ on gun control. Maybe you differ on funding, whatever it is.
And the people of your state elected you based on those views.
Right, exactly. If you break from, or vice versa, let's say you're a socialist and we elected Bernie Sanders, but you're more of a moderate Democrat. Do you have to believe in free everything under a Bernie Sanders presidency? Like, I don't know if you should have to, because you're a Democrat, always vote whatever Obama did, or you're a Republican, you always have to vote for what Trump wants, because there are people that have different views. And as Michael points out on Twitter at KMBZ Radio, they're supposed to be there for us, the people. But we know that's a joke. Which is kind of true and kind of echoes the sentiment of everybody that's been calling in.
And should they be voting a certain way just under threat of punishment? Or should they be voting the way that their constituents want them to?
Hey, this last vote definitely should have been completely agree.
But whatever their reasons are.
It was just to get the conversation rolling. We'll get to some more of your phone calls, 576-7798. Should politicians absolutely be loyal to the president? Should the president expect absolute loyalty from congressmen?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Mark Solinger, producer and one of the hosts of the Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.